We greet our friends everywhere with Chapter 30 of Perilous Journey, the story of John Bunyan, today featuring the third episode in his Pilgrim's Progress. This is another in the series Stories of Great Christians, and comes to you from the radio studios of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. John Bunyan was coming to the end of his days as a prisoner in Bedford Jail. Soon he was to be released and begin his ministry as a pastor and evangelist. But as he sat in his small cell reading his work, Pilgrim's Progress, to fellow prisoners, he knew only that the story of Christian was his story. As Christian comes to the house of the interpreter, he receives warnings and encouragements. In the figure of interpreter, John Bunyan gives a picture of the godly Puritan pastors that from their pulpits gave him help on his pilgrimage.
Surely the interpreter Goodwill spoke of is at home.
Who is it? What would you like?
Sir, I am a man that has left the city of destruction, and I am going to Mount Zion. I was told by the man standing at the wicket gate that if I called here, you would show me things that would be helpful to me on my journey.
Come in. A moment while I light a candle. There. Now follow me, Christian. What do you see?
The portrait of a man.
Describe him.
He is very grave. His eyes are looking up to heaven. The Bible is in his hand. The law of truth is written on his lips. The world is behind him. He seems to be pleading with men.
One more thing.
Oh, yes. A gold crown hangs over his head.
Look very carefully at this portrait, Christian. It is a picture of the only kind of man that the Lord has authorized to be your guide in difficult places. Remember the Bible in his hand, the world at his back, the truth on his lips, the crown over his head.
I will remember.
In your journey, you might meet with some who will pretend to lead you aright, but their way goes down to death. Come this way.
This room is covered in dust.
Let the room be swept.
Yes, sir.
The dust is choking me.
Stop the sweeping. Sprinkle water on the floor. Now sweep.
The water settled the dust, and I can see that the room is being swept up easily now. But what does this mean?
This dusty room is like the heart of a man who has not been sanctified with the sweet grace of the gospel. The dust is original sin and inward corruption. The man that first began to sweep when all the dust flew is the law. That is to show you that the law, instead of cleansing the heart from sin, only stirs it up and makes it worse, for the law cannot subdue it. The one who brought water and sprinkled it on the floor, then swept up so well, is the gospel. But come, there is more to see. What do you see?
Two men, each sitting on a chair.
Now will the action begin.
I'm not going to wait for whatever I want. Where's my treasure? Where are all the good things we're supposed to get?
Our master tells us to wait for the best things that are to come.
When will they come? I want them now. Look, a man is coming with treasures. Over here. I'm the one who wants my treasure now. Patience wants to wait. Look at the treasure he has poured out for me. Look at it all. And you, Patience, have nothing to show for all your waiting. Look at it all. It's all mine.
Poor Patience sits quietly with nothing, while Passion enjoys wealth and pleasures.
But watch as a short time passes.
It's gone. All my treasure is gone, and I have nothing but filthy rags. It's gone. I have nothing left at all.
I hope you are going to explain this scene.
Passion is a figure of the men of this world. Patience of the world to come. Passion must have all good things now, that is, in this world. The proverb, "A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush," makes more sense to men like Passion than all the divine testimonies of the world to come. But as you saw, Passion was left with nothing. And so will it be with all men like this at the end of the world.
And Patience is the wiser one, waiting for spiritual riches. He will have glory when other men have only rags.
Yes, and as well the reward that Patience waits for will never wear out. But worldly riches can be gone in a minute.
It is like the parable our Lord Christ gave about Dives, the rich man, and Lazarus. It is said to Dives, "In thy lifetime thou receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented."
That scripture is very plain. Now let us move on.
I see a hot fire by a wall, and a man throwing water on the fire. But all the same, the fire burns higher and higher.
The fire is the work of grace within the heart, and the man throwing water on it is the devil. Now come behind this wall and see why the fire does not go out for all of the water that is thrown on it.
Another man, behind the wall where the fire burns, secretly pours oil on the fire to make it burn even hotter. Who is he?
This is Christ, who with the oil of his grace maintains the work already begun in the heart. And because of this, no matter what the devil does to put out the fire of grace, the souls of God's people are kept by Christ.
I see.
Let us go outside. You are dazzled.
Yes.
What do you see?
A beautiful palace. And on the top, people walking who are dressed in gold.
Let us go up to the door.
There are many men crowding about the door.
They would like to go in, but cannot. What else do you see?
There is a man near the door of the palace, sitting at a desk. He seems to be taking down the names of those few who are entering the door. Oh, and there are many men in armor trying to keep out those people who are permitted to go in. Everyone seems to be afraid of the armed men.
Not everyone. Watch.
I am not afraid of those who would keep me out of the palace. Doorkeeper, take down my name, for I would enter in.
Yes, sir. I have thy name down.
He draws his sword and puts a helmet on his head. Oh, he's going to charge the men in armor.
Charge!
Oh, they are wounding him terribly.
And he is cutting down those who oppose him.
He made it. He's going into the palace.
Come in.
Come in, eternal glory shalt thou win.
I don't think you need to explain the meaning of this to me. I pray I too may persevere and take the gates of heaven by storm, if need be.
You must remember these things that you have seen. They will spur you on in your journey.
I will, good interpreter.
The Comforter be always with you, Christian, to guide you in the way that leads to the celestial city. It is time for you to go. Farewell.
Farewell, interpreter. Farewell. Oh, my burden makes me slow. It is so heavy. Oh, no, I seem to be going up a hill. Oh, the way is hard. And what is it that I'm coming to at the top of the hill? It is a cross. And a little below it, a sepulcher. What is happening to me? My burden has fallen from my back. It's rolling down the hill. It's gone into the sepulcher. Oh, I can stand straight. I can breathe freely. My burden is gone. And it was the cross that took it away.
John, stop reading your book for a moment. I have a question.
Yes, what is it?
When Christian left the city of destruction, why didn't he lose his burden there? He forsook his old life of sin.
I should think all that did was to prevent him from adding more sin to his burden. But that wouldn't take care of the sins he already had. Right, John?
Yes. Don't you agree, Thomas, that it's at the cross of our Lord that sin is dealt with? It's here that Christ paid for sin with his life and here that it can be forgiven and forgotten.
I do see. Would you read on, John?
The light's getting bad.
We need a candle.
But I've used the last of those Elizabeth brought me. The jailer says I cannot have any more of his.
Perhaps you could read a little more. It's not quite dark yet. The nights are so long.
I'll read until the light goes. Let's see. Ah, here. Now, as Christian stood looking at the cross and weeping, behold, three shining ones came to him and saluted him with, "Peace be to thee." So the first said to him, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." The second stripped him of his rags and clothed him with a change of raiment. The third also set a mark on his forehead and gave him a roll with a seal on it, which he bade him look on as he ran, and that he should give it in at the celestial gate. So they went their way. Then Christian gave three leaps for joy and went on.
You've heard Chapter 30 of Perilous Journey, the story of John Bunyan, featuring today the third episode of his Pilgrim's Progress. This is another in the series Stories of Great Christians and comes to you from the radio studios of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago.